to the second day of our retreat together. And we're going to be starting into... Ooh, got louder, didn't it? Okay, how is that? Is that not too loud? Okay. I'll say a little bit just again about the organization of the day, and then we'll start more immediately this morning into practice. So there won't be a lot of talking by me this first thing this morning, and we'll do sort of start out the day sort of settling again, settling our mind. And in the second sit, I'll do a little bit more guidance leading into working with thoughts, leading into a longer discussion about equanimity after the second walking period. During the first walking period and the second walking period this morning, if you'd like to come and join us upstairs in a smaller group, it's broken down by the alphabet posted on the door there. And then the last of the groups will be this afternoon during the walking period. So you're welcome to come to that. And you can, if you have questions or something happening in your practice and you'd like to come and share and ask about that, that's great. If you just would like to come and listen, you don't have something specific, but you'd like to hear a little more, that's fine too. And then this afternoon, we'll continue with the equanimity practice, and we'll end our day with a little bit of a discussion about integration and a little exercise around integrating compassion and equanimity. So that's the layout for our day. So I spoke yesterday about specific obstacles or things that come up as we try to contact our heart and enter into this relationship, a compassionate relationship with suffering. I want to broaden that out. It was quite interesting in the first group that Max met yesterday. It couldn't have been better if I'd like planted people with questions. Because between everybody in the group, and those of you who are in the group will remember I said this there, between everyone in the group, all of the five hindrances, as they're called, were named by the group. And I was like, oh, no wonder the Buddha made that list. He sat in a group and listened. And so I want to acknowledge that to the larger group here, is as we're sitting, we have the idea, okay, we're opening ourselves up to compassion, we're investigating equanimity later, and there's a whole lot else going on. And meeting that whole lot else that happens along the way is just as much our practice. It's not somehow separated out and like, if you could just get done with that, then you could practice the compassion or the equanimity. The practice is to bring the compassion and the equanimity to exactly what's happening in your practice at a given moment. So you're sitting there struggling with sleepiness. How do you bring compassion and care and some equanimity about it to that experience? Or that spinning thought in your head about something that's happened that you really don't want to have happen. And for those of you who have the other of the hindrances, I'll name them: restlessness. You're ready to jump out of your skin. You've got endless planning going on. How to be compassionate towards that too. And wanting. Wanting this, wanting that, wanting the sit to be over, wanting the walking to be over, wanting the day to not end, you know, whichever it is. And then all the things that might, you know, a lot of fantasy that comes through our mind has to do with wanting. visions and hopes of the future, has a lot of wanting quality in it. And then the last one I addressed some yesterday was the quality of doubt, which a lot of times is like, how does what we're doing here make a difference? What's important about this? Is this appropriate? And I talked some about that. And this necessity of knowing what's going on here in order to interact in a skillful way in the world. So I have a poem that I really like. I want to read you from Alison Letterman about obstacles. Because even the word obstacle is an obstacle. Try to love everything that gets in your way. The Chinese women in flowered bathing caps, murmuring together in Mandarin, doing leg exercises in your lane while you execute 36 furious laps, one for every item on your to-do list. The heavy-bellied man who goes thrashing through the water like a horse with a harpoon stuck in its side and whose breathless tsunamis rock you off your course. Teachers all, learn to be small and swim past obstacles like a minnow without grudges or memory. Dart toward your goal, sperm to egg, thinking obstacle is another obstacle. Try to love the teenage girl lounging against the ladder, showing off her new tattoo. Cette vie est la mienne. This life is mine, in thick blue-black letters on her ivory instep. Be glad she'll have it to look at for the rest of her life, and keep going. Swim by an uncle in the lane next to yours who is teaching his nephew how to hold his breath underwater, even though kids aren't supposed to be in the pool at this hour. Someday, years from now, this boy who is kicking and flailing in the exact place you want to touch and turn may be a young man at a wedding on a boat, raising his champagne glass in a toast when a huge wave hits, washing everyone overboard. He'll come up coughing and spitting like he is now, but he'll come up like a cork, alive. So your moment of impatience must bow in service to the larger story. Because if something is in your way, it is going your way. The way of all beings, toward the darkness, toward light. The obstacles, some of them may be outside us, or appear to be in the pool, but she does such a great way of saying, really, the obstacle is in our mind. And as we sit and meditate, each time we see some way that we are blocking our experience in the present moment, each time we see that we're in resistance, we get impatient, we get frustrated, we want it to be different. Each time we see that and turn towards it, what otherwise could be categorized as a hindrance becomes an opportunity. It becomes like, oh, here is this. How do I meet that? Hold on. How do I meet that? How do I meet this moment, whatever's happening here? And when we have this attitude, when we see it as an opportunity and address it with interest and curiosity, then our practice takes on a very different flavor. It also answers the question of how does what we sit, when we sit, how does that relate to our lives? This turning towards what's happening right here is the exact same practice as we have the opportunity to do every day, many times a day, right? Many, many times a day. the view that something is in the way or isn't as it should be. How do I turn and look directly at that in myself? So let's go ahead and sit together, and we'll do just a simple practice again to start. And I encourage you, as whatever arises, notice it and see if you can turn towards that. Be curious. See if anything that arises, should it arise, maybe you'll just spend the next 40 minutes with each breath uninterrupted, with no moment of thought. Maybe. But if you do, how can you meet that moment where you get distracted? The moment you come back, the moment something hits you, can you be compassionate? Can you be curious and allowing? Can you let yourself feel it in your body? All of the Dharma is here in this fathom-long body. So coming to your place of relaxation and alertness.